Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
I'd like for you to open with me to John chapter 20 and then look here for a moment. I'm going to be sharing with you a message primarily focused on the first words of Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead, the very first words that he spoke. And actually, there were two questions. And the title of my message today is Questions Answered by the Resurrection. Questions Answered by the Resurrection. Now, there are many, many questions that the resurrection answers. But for the sake of today, we're going to look at two of the deepest and most profound kind of longings and needs of our heart. So what I want to do is just get right into it. What we're going to be reading this morning is the morning that Jesus rose from the dead. And I want you to be mindful of the fact that although this was predicted all throughout history, his disciples and his followers were not really sure. They didn't know. And so they had to discover the resurrection. And really, all throughout history, people have continued to discover the resurrection of Jesus Christ and its meaning. And I pray that someone today will experience a fresh discovery of the rising of the Son of the living God. So I'm going to read, we'll jump right into it here in John chapter 20. We'll read two verses and then jump down a little bit. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early." She was one of the people that really met God in a powerful way, and then she followed Jesus for all of his life and was a very faithful follower once she gave her life to him, so to speak. And it says, "While it was still she came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple." This was John, the writer of this passage here, the one whom Jesus loved, "and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.'" You see, she didn't know that he had risen from the dead. And she was very distraught, and she went, because she didn't see him there, even though the stone that covered the tomb had been rolled away, she went back and got the other disciples and said, "They've taken the Lord, they've taken his body." Let's keep going now. It says, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb." So the men ran back to the tomb with her. We sort of skipped that. They ran back to the tomb. They looked in. Peter and John didn't see anything, and so they left. This is the way it happened. They left. And then after they left, it says, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.'" Imagine, she was so distraught that she's talking to two angels, and she's just like, "They took the Lord." Talking to two angels. You'd think that would have given her a clue that something was up, right? But see, she was in such a state. She was in a place of deep discouragement. And let's keep going here. "Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her," these are the first words of Christ after he rose from the dead, "'Woman, why are you weeping, and whom are you seeking?'" Why are you weeping, and whom are you seeking? Two very profound questions, which we're going to be looking at momentarily. "Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers, very important, and say to them, I am ascending to my Father. You know what? Let's read this together. Ready? I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And so what happened basically was Jesus was now declaring to them, now that I've risen from the dead, even though there was a distance before between you and the Heavenly Father, between you and the mighty God, I have broken the distance. He's willing and ready to belong to us. He wants to be the intimate Father. He wants to be the God that is close as the mention of His name. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Aren't you thankful today that there's a God who wants to be close to us? Amen. Can we put our hands together? Hallelujah. And then the Bible says, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. And so now we're going to begin, we're going to look at the questions that are answered by the resurrection. And what I want to do for a moment is I just want to pray that God would answer our questions. That God would reach down in a fresh way, whether you're a believer or not a believer. That He would reach down in a fresh way and minister to our hearts. Because it's God's will that on this Resurrection Sunday, that there would be a fresh revelation of who Jesus is and why He rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day and this time. Thank you, Lord, that we could gather together to celebrate your rising. And God, we love you and we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what we've been able to watch you do, Lord, even in the last 2 weeks, reaching out and bringing transformation, oh God, to many hearts, Lord, young and old. And God, we pray for a fresh visitation now of your Spirit and power over this word. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and to speak to your people. Hide me today behind the cross, O God, and minister to every heart and life, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, before we get into these questions, there's something that I think is very important for us to address. And that is that from a credibility standpoint, Jesus was clearly not interested in proving himself to the skeptic and to the doubter. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he didn't try to prove himself. Throughout history, so many people have made the issue of the resurrection a point of contention. And they've mocked the fact that no one can rise from the dead. And people have put down the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus didn't attempt to prove himself at all. He wasn't interested in doing that. And here's how you know why. Okay? If the resurrection was a mythology, okay, if it was some sort of myth, then it would have never unfolded that way. Because the writer would have known that in that day, a woman's testimony didn't count. You see, the first person that Jesus appeared to was a woman. Okay? And if this was a mythology that they were trying to prove, they would have appeared to some man, to someone of great importance with lots of credibility. But God says, I've got my own credibility. I don't need credibility from anybody. Hallelujah. In that day, the intelligentsia of that time, the reigning government of that time, would have never taken the eyewitness testimony as a woman as something of importance. But see, listen, brothers and sisters, you can't put God on trial. God puts you on trial, but you can't put God on trial because he's the King of glory and he doesn't even try to prove himself. Throughout history, people have thought that they could put God on trial. You can't put God on trial. He's God. Imagine standing before the judge, right? I've only stood before the judge one time because of a speeding ticket. And when I stood before him, it was in Rhode Island. I was going 1 mile past the thing. It was merciless, right? And I stood before him, and I didn't know what to do. And I put my hands in my pocket when I stood before. I was nervous. And the guy said, "Take your hands out of your pocket." I said, "Yes, sir." Could you imagine if I would have said, "Who are you? Who are you to judge me? You can't give me a ticket." He said, "Lock him up." But think about how foolish we are. We think that we can put God on trial. Oh, no. Okay, that's very, very foolish. Listen, the truth is that the proud and the stubborn, they've always missed the obvious in history. When people get like that, the truth could be smacking them in the face, and they miss it. Even when Jesus was born, think about this, when Jesus was born, wise men, these were kings, these were men of stature. They came before Herod, and they said, "We've seen his star, and we've come to worship him." And then they turned to the scribes, the teachers of the law, and Herod turned to the teachers of the law and said, "Is the Messiah going to be born here?" "Yes, he's going to be born. The prophecy hundreds of years before has already declared that he was going to be born right here, King Herod." And then when the revelation came, the angels didn't come to the king. Herod, he went to lowly shepherds because their hearts were open, and he said, "Hallelujah, the Son of God is born today." And Herod was the one who missed it because of his pride, because of his stubbornness, thinking that he could somehow put down God. The world and history is full of people who missed the obvious. I kind of Googled, you know, great mistakes in history. There are all sorts of mistakes, but here's one that probably would appeal to many of us. Listen, in a garage in 1976, a group of guys started a computer company that would change the world. You've probably heard of Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. However, there was a third founder of Apple, and that man was Ronald Wayne. The reason why you probably never heard of Wayne is because less than 2 weeks after founding Apple and receiving 10% stake in the company, he sold his Apple stock for $800. Today, his stock would be worth $55 billion. Why would he bail so early? Because he had been burned before. And so because of his skepticism, he missed the opportunity. I want to challenge you today. Beware of skepticism. Jesus is a figure in history that cannot be denied. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the ruling master of all of the universe. Hallelujah. Could we put our hands together? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at what Dr. Simon Greenleaf said from Harvard University. He is an expert on evidence for court cases. He says, according to the laws of legal evidence used in courts of law, there is more evidence for the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than for just about any other event in history. He rose from the dead with his glorious power and might. He is alive today. Come on, let's put our hands together. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone that will take a long look at the life of Christ, anyone that will take a long look, an honest look at the life of Christ, will discover that he was the Son of God. He was the perfect, the most pure, kind, loving individual that ever walked on the face of this earth. And then he rose from the dead in power. He offered his life as a sacrifice for our sin. Amazing. But remember, as you listen today, vantage point is everything. I'm currently reading an autobiography on the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. And I'm just really kind of blown away by his life and his calling. And right after they won the battle in Montgomery, Alabama, you know, when Rosa Parks said, "I'm not moving on the bus." Right after they won that battle, he had received an invitation to India. And he was really moved by the life of Gandhi. Obviously, Christ was his main motivation, but he was moved by the life of Gandhi. He wanted to go and see. And when he went to India, he traveled to many places. But as I was reading just in this past week, he came to a place called Cape Comorin. And it's a very unique place on the earth. The Indian Ocean and some other bodies of water meet. And he said he was there at a particular time with his wife and some other friends. And he saw the sun set and the moon rise simultaneously. And it's the one place on the earth where you can actually see the sunset and the moon rise. And right at the same time. And he talked about how beautiful that is. And I was thinking about how important your vantage point is in life. It's so important to look at things the right way. It's so important to realize in your human frailty how weak we are, how needy we are. From the moment that we're born in need. And we die as people that are in need. We need a Lord. We need a Savior. Okay? And if you don't look at things the right way, if we close ourselves to the truth, we miss out on so much blessing. How does this thing happen? How does he reveal himself? See, God doesn't prove himself. He reveals himself. Look at what the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians. This is an amazing verse. 2 Corinthians 4 says, it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ Jesus." It is in the face of Christ Jesus that we get to see the glory of God. It is in the face of Christ Jesus that we get to see the Son of the living God. It is in the face of Christ Jesus that we find light for the darkness of our lives, hope for the despair of our lives. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He is alive and we celebrate it today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, there's a man, his name is Josh McDowell. And he was basically a genius. You know, one of those people who get a perfect score on the SAT or the ACT. He was one of those guys. And he's actually preached at this church. And he's in his 60s now, I believe. But when he was a young man, fresh out of college, he decided that he wanted to make money in an easy way. And so he decided to disprove Jesus and the Bible. And so he went on this whole search, and we're talking about a real genius, and he went to some of the greatest libraries of the world studying and studying and studying. And there came a point, I believe he was in London, there came a point as he was studying and researching and trying to refute Christ where he said, "I can't take this. Everywhere I turn, the truth of who he was keeps smacking me in the face." He went on to produce a book that has sold millions upon millions of copies called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Brothers and sisters, indeed, anyone who takes an honest look at the life of Jesus Christ, they will discover that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, because he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Could we give him a hand? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, with that said, he rose from the dead, not to prove himself, but he rose from the dead to reveal himself and to meet our deepest needs and our longings, to answer our deepest questions. He rose from the dead so that he could be known and to answer the deepest questions of our heart. And that's why he said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping and whom are you looking for?" So of all the things that Jesus could have said, why did he say that? Well, I guess that's a good question. Why was Mary weeping? Mary wept because she knew in her heart of hearts that there was no hope without a Savior. You see, Mary thought that Jesus was the Messiah when he walked on the earth. She thought, this is the one. The scriptures prophesied about the fact that a Messiah was coming. And she thought he was the one. And then she saw him crucified. And she knew that without a Savior, there's no hope. Now that same issue 2,000 years ago is the same thing today. Without a Savior, ladies and gentlemen, there is no hope. Without a Savior, when we stand before God, there will be no hope. And people say, well, how could you say that? How could you say that there's no hope? Well, listen, from the time we're young, the grading begins. Kids go to school and they get a grade. Okay, from the very beginning. Okay, and then you grow up and you get a job and you get a review and you get a grade on your job. Actors get a grade. Some of them get awards and some don't. Musicians get a grade. All over the place, people are graded. It is a fact of life that what we do is analyzed and scrutinized and judged. Even when you go to a funeral, you can go to a funeral and there are people thinking things about who's in the casket. What kind of life did he live? What kind of impact did he make? Children are saying, oh, he was such a great dad. Or they're saying, maybe he wasn't such a great dad. They're graded. I heard a preacher tell a story about these two brothers who were, kind of humorous story, two brothers who were really wicked in this community. They were so wicked, and they took advantage of everyone, and they were so vile. And one of the brothers died. And the brother went to a minister and said, hey, I want you to, would you please do my brother's funeral? And I don't care really what you say, but I just want you to say one thing. I'll pay you all the money. Don't worry about it. I'll pay you truckloads of money. I just want you to say one sentence. I want you to say, he was a saint. So the minister was like kind of torn up in his heart about this. He was like, how am I going to do that? Everybody knows what a scoundrel he was. So then he said, I got it. He got up, he said, the man that you see here in this casket, he was a no good, vile, deceitful, merciless, heartless, con man. He was a thief. He did every lousy thing that you could ever imagine a human being can do. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. Everybody gets graded. Everybody gets graded. The Bible says we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You see, when man appears before the judgment seat of God without a Savior, it is indeed hopeless. But see, he said to her, why are you weeping? Please listen to me. He said, why are you weeping? Because he came to the earth because of his great love for humanity. He came to the earth with a mission. The scriptures prophesied that by his stripes we would be healed. The scriptures prophesied that he would be wounded for our transgressions. The scriptures talked about the fact that he would be punished. That he would be punished, but the punishment that he took on himself, it would bring us peace. He's saying, why are you weeping? Don't you realize that I have risen from the dead to be your Savior? Do you know what Savior means? Let me put this up very quickly. Okay? The definition of Savior is simple but powerful. Savior is an appointed deliverer who delivers and preserves. Savior is an appointed deliverer who delivers and preserves. So here's what it means, okay? When you accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and you stand before that judge, that moment which no one will get away from, the Bible is abundantly clear. It is appointed for everyone to die and then to appear before the judgment seat of God. Okay? This is not like some gloom and doom message. This is an amazing offer of love and hope. Because even though we will stand before God, Jesus offered his own life as a savior to deliver us on that day when the Lord will look at us. You accept Jesus. He says, I declare him not guilty because the deliverer has taken his place. Could I get a hallelujah and an amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Why would you not accept Jesus as Savior when he died to deliver you from your sin? Though our sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. But that's for when we get saved. That's for when we stand before God. But here's for every day. Here's the wonderful news about a Savior. And I would say, if the musicians would come, I would say this is vitally important for every believer, because sometimes we forget that Jesus is our Savior. He's our Savior. And here's what it means. It means an appointed deliverer who delivers and, everyone say this last word, and preserves. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he not only delivers you from the judgment, he not only delivers you from the power of sin and death. The Bible says sin shall no longer have dominion over you. But then, listen, every single day that you wake up, okay, he's still a Savior. And he's committed to preserve your life and my life so that every single day, do you know why we pray? You know why the Bible tells us to pray? It's because we have a Savior. So that when you're in trouble, the Bible says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. I will save you. He's willing to save us every single day. Every time we have a problem. I don't know about you, but I was saying this earlier, at least every 2 to 3 months in my life, I come up against one of those issues that is a doozy. I'm like, Lord, if you don't step in, we got some issues around here. How many know what I'm talking about? Every 2 or 3 months, we have these huge, massive situations that we face. It's like a huge obstacle. And you know what God says? As you look at your obstacles today, okay, he's the same resurrected Savior. The one that rose 2,000 years ago, he's that same Savior today. And as you look at your obstacle, remember, if you call upon him, you have a deliverer. You have one who's going to preserve you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to see you all the way through to the end. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we experience these situations and these circumstances that you're like, God, if you don't deliver me, I won't make it. If you don't deliver me, I won't make it, Lord. Look at what 2 Corinthians 1:10 says. It says, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. Everyone say again. And then it says, on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. He delivered us in the past, and he will do it again. And as you walk out of here, whatever you're facing, it's Resurrection Sundays, guys. It's the day, remember, he rose from the dead. Whatever you're facing, he's the great Savior. He's the great deliverer. He can deal with whatever you're dealing with today. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He's a great deliverer. He's a Savior. You know, I have to stop because I do this every year for about 7 years. I've said the same thing in every resurrection sermon. About 7 or 8 years ago, there was someone in the body of Christ that was serving God but really struggling. Certain people, they give their lives to Christ, but sometimes it seems like death lingers. It seems like defeat lingers. And sometimes Christians begin to settle with areas of their life that are really defeated. And you shouldn't do that. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Sometimes deliverance is a process in God. Sometimes it takes time. But you're not supposed to accept it. And so about 7 or 8 years ago, I get a note every right around this time. I get a note from a person whose mind, their emotions, because of their upbringing, background, also they were all messed up, twisted, broken. All sorts of things were just binding them. They were trying to serve God, but they were bound. And they responded to an altar call on an Easter, on a Resurrection Sunday. And that day the Savior came into their heart. And that thing that had them bound, those shackles were broken. Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even today, God wants to break shackles. He wants to deliver His people. Hallelujah. If you're a Christian here, put your faith in the Savior. Put your faith in the Savior. He's still able to set you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord. So the first thing that we see is Mary was weeping because there was no hope without a Savior. She was saying there's no Savior, but then she discovered that there is a Savior. The second question that He asked her, do you think it was really for her? Don't you realize it was for her, but it was really for us? The second question was, whom are you seeking? Whom are you seeking? Everyone is seeking for someone. Everyone is. Listen, Mary was searching or seeking because there was no Lord. If Jesus would have remained in the grave, there would have been no Lord. She had a sense of hopelessness because she was like, wait a second, He was supposed to see, when they were expecting the Messiah, they were expecting someone who would be their great king and their great leader. They were waiting for someone to lead them. And by the way, all you have to do is look around right now. Everyone worships something. Some people worship money. Some people worship careers. Some people worship idols. And they think like, oh, this thing. Some people worship politicians. And they think, oh, this is going to do it. This is what's going to satisfy. Everyone is searching for a Lord. Let me tell you what Lord is very quickly. Here's what the definition of Lord is. A Lord is a person possessing supreme power and authority. A Lord is a person possessing supreme power and authority. Now, here's what we can look at and conclude in 2016 as we look around our lives. One thing is for sure, no matter who's in power, politicians can't really lead us, can they? The problems of our city, the problems of our nation are beyond the politicians. One thing that is abundantly clear is that the laws cannot reform us. Okay, have you noticed that the more laws we write, the more laws we break? It's not in laws. Laws won't lead us out of this. Politicians won't lead us out of the real issues of our hearts, the real issues of our families. No politician will do it for you. No star of this world, not even education. Listen, it's great to get an education. That's a wonderful thing. We applaud that. We hope all of our kids graduate college and move on. That's something that we think is great. But remember, what education really teaches us, okay, especially when you take history class. How many liked history? It's one of those few classes I really liked, right? Right? When you take history class, you know what education teaches us? Education teaches us that no matter how educated people are, they keep repeating the same mistakes. It just keeps happening over and over and over again. You know why Jesus came? He came because we needed a leader. We needed a Lord. We needed someone with supreme power and authority, one who could actually work out His plan for our lives. We need a Savior and we need a Lord. Everyone needs a Lord. One with supreme power. Jesus has supreme power and authority. He's the one who can lead us through. He's the one who can guide us through. The Bible says He has a perfect plan for your life and mine. A perfect plan for anyone who will open up their heart to Him and say, lead me, Lord, I will follow. The Bible says the fool says in his heart there is no God. No God, no Lord, no leader. You see, lots of people, listen, lots of people, please listen very carefully to this statement. Lots of people claim Christ as their Savior. Lots of people say, yes, I believe that Jesus died for my sin. But fewer people claim him as Lord. And when it comes to the King of Glory, the Son of the Living God, he is either Savior and Lord, or he's neither. He's either the master of our lives, or he's neither. Look at what Peter said in the first sermon that was preached in the New Testament church. He said, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, let's read this together, both Lord and Christ. Christ means Savior. Christ means Savior. He is the supreme power and authority that knows exactly where we should go and what we should do. He created us by his own wisdom and glory and power, and he has plans to use us for his glory. Listen, only what you do for Christ will last. All the rest of it will burn up. But it happens when we make him Lord. Whom are you seeking? Why are you weeping? I wonder, do you have a Savior today? Are you a believer today and you've lost your sense of the saving power of Christ? God wants to energize your faith today. We serve the risen Savior. Do you have a Lord today? Do you have someone who's really in charge of your life, that can order your steps, that can lead and guide, that has the supreme power and authority to speak to obstacles, to remove whatever is in the way of his perfect plan for your life? He has a wonderful plan for our lives. But that plan is executed as Lord. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Getting into the privacy of our own heart today. The Bible is clear. Jesus came to the earth and he lived a perfect sinless life. And he went to that cross to be brutalized for my sin and for your sin. He was the Son of the Living God. And his offer of love and friendship and lordship is free. The Bible says he knocks on the door of every heart. Anyone that will open that door, he will come in and he will be with them forever. Why are we in church today? We're in church because indeed there is a Savior and a Lord. And today, perhaps he's knocking on the door of your heart. As I mentioned earlier, two nights ago, he knocked on the door of a 65-year-old woman. And she had never heard that Jesus died for her sins. She heard it for the first time. And she opened up her heart. She and her husband, and the Lord came in, and she became a new creation, and that was her turn. I did it one day on a baseball field. Everyone has their turn. That moment when Jesus knocks and says, let me be your Savior, let me be your Lord. I don't want to judge you. I want to save you. I want to lead you and deliver you because I love you with an everlasting love. I wonder if there's anyone here who would say, Pastor, I've never invited him into my heart. And on this day that he rose from the dead, I want to invite him in. I want to invite him in to be Savior and Lord. If that's you, if you feel the Lord knocking on the door of your heart and you want to let him in, would you raise your hand? I just want to pray for you for a moment. Thank you. Raise your hand nice and high, high. Thank you. Come on, hands are going up on the building. Thank you. Raise them high so that I could see. Hallelujah. This is the day that he was raised from the dead. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All of those hands that are raised, you can put your hands down now. Now here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And as you pray, you're going to be inviting him in. I'm helping you with the words because perhaps you've never done this before. But as you pray it, God hears it. God hears when we pray. And as you invite him in, he will come in and he will become your Savior and your Lord. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. I thank you for coming to the earth and for living a perfect life and for going to the cross for my sin. Forgive me, Lord, for all my sin and offense. Wash my heart clean of guilt and shame. I open up my heart to you. And I invite you in. Become my Lord and my Savior. Be my master and my friend. Thank you for receiving me. Today I put my faith in you. Amen and amen. Let's put our hands together right now. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Raise your hand. If you prayed that prayer, raise your hand. Someone is standing. We have ushers standing by to give you a gift box. That gift box is a gift from us to help you start your new relationship with God. Congratulations. You are a child of God. Heaven is celebrating over the decision that you've just made. Hallelujah. In that box, we ask that you would take a moment and fill out the card there. We would love to get your name and to just make some contact with you and help you out with your new walk with God. What a great day it is when someone comes to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. Now listen, we're not going to leave the building today without praying for any person here who would say, I need a fresh visitation of resurrection power in my life. Yes, I'm a believer. I'm a believer, but I've come on this Resurrection Sunday, and I need Jesus to deliver me from something. Or maybe you're here, and you need Jesus to exercise supreme power and authority and to lead you out of a situation or a circumstance. Hallelujah, we've come to his house because he is our Lord and Savior. If that's you today, you need resurrection power to touch you right now. You got one of those situations where you need the Lord, you need the Savior to reach down and reach into your life by his mighty power and see you through. Raise your hand right now because we want to pray for you. Hands are going up all over the building. Look at this. Hallelujah. Now take the hand of someone next to you. We're going to pray to the left and to the right. This is the way we're going to end this service. We're going to pray for the risen Savior to release his resurrection power. Hallelujah. We believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want you to pray with the faith that says, today is my neighbor's day. This hand that I'm holding today is their day. Pray with faith. This is their time, their moment. Come on, begin to pray. God, loose your resurrection power all over this building, oh God. For every hand that was raised, God, and every hand that wasn't raised, God, loose your power, God. Loose your power today. God, make straight whatever was twisted. Heal whatever is broken. God, provide whatever is lacking today, oh God. Restore, oh God, whatever has been lost, oh God. Move by your mighty power today. Hallelujah. Restore families. Restore minds. Touch emotions today, oh God. Touch physical bodies, oh Lord. Touch finances, oh God. Whatever it is, exercise your supreme authority and power today. Hallelujah. You're the Savior. You're the Lord. Father, we thank you that, Lord, we have a living Savior and a living Lord, one that continues to deliver us over and over and over again, one that continues to lead us over and over again. God, I ask today, Lord God, that you would stretch out your hand of power right now into every situation, every circumstance. And God, let the answers be revealed, oh God. Even as we're walking out of this place, Lord, let your answers unfold before the very eyes of your people. And God, as we go, Lord, release us to go celebrating, oh God, the fact that you rose from the dead and that you're alive and well sitting upon your throne. God, would you use my brothers and sisters, bless them and make them a mighty blessing today as they go from this place. Use them as instruments of your love and power. We thank you for all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said aloud, amen. Let's give him one more hand before we go. Hallelujah.